Testimonies of George Mueller. Compiled by Hector Medina. AudioConnectTape.net. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 17. Their heavenly Father has always helped those who put their trust in Him. I long to set something before the children of God, whereby they might see, that He does not forsake, even in our day, those who rely upon Him. Very rarely did I see that there was a stand made for God, that there was the holy determination to trust in the living God, and to depend on Him, in order that a good conscience might be maintained. To this class likewise I desired to show, by a visible proof, that God is unchangeably the same. My spirit longed to be instrumental in strengthening their faith, by giving them not only instances from the Word of God, of His willingness and ability to help all those who rely upon Him, but to show them by proofs, that He is the same in our day. I well knew that the Word of God ought to be enough, and it was, by grace, enough, to me, but still, I considered that I ought to lend a helping hand to my brethren, if by any means, by this visible proof to the unchangeable faithfulness of the Lord, I might strengthen their hands in God. I, therefore, judged myself bound to be the servant of the Church of God, in the particular point on which I had obtained mercy, namely, in being able to take God by His word and to rely upon it. I, a poor man, simply by prayer and faith, obtained without asking any individual, the means for establishing and carrying on an orphan house. This would be something which, with the Lord's blessing, might be instrumental in strengthening the faith of the children of God, besides being a testimony to the consciences of the unconverted, of the reality of the things of God. This, then, was the primary reason for establishing the orphan house, that God might be magnified by the fact, that the orphans under my care are provided with all they need, only by prayer and faith without anyone being asked by me or my fellow laborers, whereby it may be seen, that God is faithful still, and hears prayer still. Also by the abundance of fruit that has followed in the hearts of the saints, for which from my inmost soul, I desire to be grateful to God, and the honor and glory of which not only is due to Him alone, but, which I, by His help, am enabled to ascribe to Him. I only pray that if it were of the Lord, He would bring it about, but if not, that He graciously would be pleased to take all thoughts about it out of my mind. My comfort, however, was, that, if it were His will, He would provide not merely the means, but also suitable individuals to take care of the children, so that my part of the work would take only such a portion of my time. I was reading Psalm 81 and was particularly struck, more than at any time before, with verse 10, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." I thought a few moments about these words, and then was led to apply them to the case of the orphan house. It struck me that I had never asked the Lord for anything concerning it, except to know His will, respecting its being established or not, and I then fell on my knees and opened my mouth wide, asking Him for much. I asked in submission to His will, and without fixing a time when He should answer my petition. I prayed that He would give me a house, either as a loan, or that someone might be led to pay the rent for one, or that one might be given permanently for this object. Further, I asked Him for £1,000, and likewise for suitable individuals to take care of the children. Besides this, I have been since led to ask the Lord, to put into the hearts of His people to send me articles of furniture for the house, and some clothes for the children. When I was asking the petition, I was fully aware what I was doing, that I was asking for something which I had no natural prospect of obtaining from the brethren whom I know, but which was not too much for the Lord to grant. We propose ourselves for the service of the intended orphan house, if you think us qualified for it, also to give up all the furniture, and other things which the Lord has given us, for its use, and to do this without receiving any salary whatever, believing that if it be the will of the Lord to employ us, He will supply all our needs. Wrote a couple to George Mueller some days after. Today I gave myself once more earnestly to prayer respecting the remainder of the £1,000. This evening £5 was given, so that now the whole sum is made up. To the glory of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, I would state again, that every shilling of this money, and all of the articles of clothing and furniture, which have been mentioned in the foregoing pages, have been given to me, without one single individual having been asked by me for anything. This circumstance now led me to lie low before my God in prayer the whole of the evening, February 3rd, and to examine my heart once more as to all the motives concerning it. This evening I was walking in our little garden, meditating on Heb. 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. While meditating on His unchangeable love, power, wisdom, and more. And turning all, as I went on, into prayer respecting myself, and whilst applying likewise His unchangeable love, and power and wisdom, both to my present spiritual and temporal circumstances, all at once the present need of the orphan house was brought to my mind. Immediately I was led to say to myself, Jesus in His love and power has hitherto supplied me with what I have needed for the orphans, and in the same unchangeable love and power He will provide me with what I may need for the future. A flow of joy came into my soul whilst realizing thus the unchangeableness of our adorable Lord. About 1 minute after, a letter was brought me, enclosing a bill for £20. It is not a great sum, but it is a sufficient provision for the exigency of today, and it is for today's exigencies, that, ordinarily, the Lord provides. Tomorrow, as it brings its demands, will find its supply. It came upon me within 4 days afterwards, and which I knew beforehand would come. Never were we so reduced in funds as today. There was not a single halfpenny in hand between the matrons of the three houses. Nevertheless, there was a good dinner. When I left the brethren and sisters at 1 o'clock, after prayer, I told them that we must wait for help, and see how the Lord would deliver us this time. I was sure of help, but we were indeed straitened. The brother had called twice while I was gone to the orphan houses, and had I now been 1/2 minute later, I should have missed him. But the Lord knew our need, and therefore allowed me to meet Him. I sent off the £5 immediately to the matrons. Today a brother from the neighborhood of London gave me £10, to be laid out as it might be most needed. As we have been praying many days for the school, Bible, and missionary funds, I took it all for them. Thus the Lord, to show His continued care over us, raises up new helpers. They that trust in the Lord shall never be confounded. Some who helped for a while may fall asleep in Jesus, others may grow cold in the service of the Lord. From one cause or another, were we to lean upon man, we should surely be confounded, but, in leaning upon the living God alone, we are beyond disappointment, and beyond being forsaken because of death, or a want of means, or a want of love, or because of the claims of other work. How precious to have learned in any measure to stand with God alone in the world, and yet to be happy, and to know that surely no good thing shall be withheld from us whilst we walk uprightly. I was informed about the conversion of one of the very greatest sinners that I ever heard of in all my service for the Lord. Repeatedly I fell on my knees with his wife, and asked the Lord for his conversion, when she came to me in the deepest distress of soul, on account of the most barbarous and cruel treatment that she received from him. At the time when it was at its worst, I pleaded especially on his behalf the promise in Matthew 18:19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And now this awful persecutor is converted. A few months ago I began to ask the Lord for greater real spiritual prosperity among the saints, among whom I labor in this city, than there ever yet had been among them, and now I have to record to the praise of the Lord that truly He has answered this request, for, considering all things, at no period has there been more manifestation of grace and truth, and spiritual power among us, than there is now while I am writing this for the press. Through grace we had learned to lean upon the Lord only, being assured, that, if we were never to speak or write one single word more about this work, yet should we be supplied with means, as long as He should enable us to depend on Himself alone. What better proof, therefore, could we give of our depending upon the living God alone, and not upon public meetings or printed reports? We still went on quietly for some time longer, without saying anything. We therefore determined, as we sought and still seek in this work, to act for the profit of the saints generally. There is now the greatest need, and only 4D in hand, which I found in the box at my house, yet I fully believe the Lord will supply us this day also with all that is required. Pause a few moments, dear reader. Observe two things. We did it for God, but God's way leads always into trial, so far as sight and sense are concerned. Nature always will be tried in God's ways. The Lord was saying by this poverty, I will now see whether you truly lean upon me, and whether you truly look to me. Of all the seasons that I had ever passed through since I had been living in this way, up to that time, I never knew any period in which my faith was tried so sharply, as during the 4 months from December 12, 1841, to April 12, 1842, but the Lord kept us steadfast to the conclusion and decision, at which we had arrived under His guidance. For how awful would be the disgrace brought upon His holy name if we, who have so publicly made our boast in Him, and have spoken well of Him, should be left to disgrace Him, either by unbelief in the hour of trial, or by a life of sin in other respects. Delayed but sure. At a time of the greatest need, both with regard to the day schools and the orphans, so much so that we could not have gone on any longer without help, I received this day £10 from a brother, as our need was so great, and my soul was, through grace, truly waiting upon the Lord, I looked out for supplies in the course of this morning. The post, however, was out, and no supplies had come. This did not in the least discourage me. I said to myself, the Lord can send means. He may have sent means, though the money is not yet in my hands. It was not long after I had thus spoken to myself, when, according to my hope in God, we were helped, for the brother who sent us the £10, had this time directed his letter to the boys' orphan house, whence it was sent to me.